Hey, coming up next on Ham Nation, we have got an amazing video from Randy, K7AGE. He went up to the Antique Wireless Museum, and you are going to drool like you've never drooled before. This is about an eight-minute video, and there's a longer one with more detail on his YouTube page. So after you finish watching us on Ham Nation, go to K7AGE's YouTube and watch that. And just prepare to be amazed. You're going to put this on your bucket list for sure. We're also going to talk to Gordon West about some important stuff. We're going to have Amanda with the chat room. George is back. We'll hear what he did on a summer vacation. And we're going to talk a whole lot about the Huntsville Ham Fest. And if you're watching this after the weekend, we're sorry we missed you. Or, hey, we're glad we saw you. Just pick whichever one is appropriate. But for now, just sit back and watch this episode of Ham Nation.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 415 for August 14th, 2019. The Antique Wireless Museum. Hey, good evening, everybody. At least it's evening for us here live. If you're not live with us and watching the replay, it could be any time you want it to be. But we all know that it's Ham Nation time. I'm Don Wellbanks, AE5 to W. Bob Heil is probably en route to the Huntsville Ham Fest right now, as I will be on Friday, and George will be reconnoitering with us there as well. And we hope to see you at the Huntsville Ham Fest in Alabama. There it is, hamfest.org is the website. We're going to present the Young Ham of the Year Award right there on Saturday, August 17th at 2 o'clock Central Time. And if you can't be there in person, I know it's kind of a drive for some of you guys on the other side of the Mississippi River. But for us here on the east, the eastern part of town, it's not too bad. It's about a 6 or 7 hour drive from us down here in the New Orleans area. Come out and join us. And if you can't, W5KUB.com will be streaming the whole affair from his drive up to all around the Ham Fest during setup on Friday and the Ham Fest on Saturday, the Young Ham of the Year Award Saturday afternoon, the Ham Fest again on Sunday with the drawing of the prizes and his drive home. There at W5KUB.com. He's got all of that for you live with the chat room and prizes and everything else. So it's going to be a grand time. And we certainly hope you'll join us either online or in person. We really hope you join us in person. Also want to shout out real quick before we get started to the Brazoria County Aries group down in South Texas. They're not too far from Galveston. Galveston, oh, Galveston. Nobody wants to hear that. But I was with them last night via Skype for their meeting. And we spent an hour talking with the folks last night. Just a ton of fun. And so if you'd like to get any of us, the Ham Nation hosts, to come into your meeting or your Ham Fest or whatever via Skype, just send us an email. We'd be more than happy to do that for you. Speaking of the hosts, let's go ahead and go around the horn real quick. Let's go out just up to my north a little bit to Jackson, Mississippi, and talk to George. George is back from vacation, and you're going to be in Huntsville as well, right?
I am going to be in Huntsville. I'll be getting in, Friday evening. And looking forward to a big time there. I thought that was maybe Glenn Wilbanks. Was that a Glenn Wilbanks tune that you were singing there?
Yeah. Do you know why? Do you know why Glenn Campbell sang that song? There's a reason. Do you know why?
Money.
Why?
So I wouldn't. That's why.
There you go.
There I go.
Well, we've got a little video from Randy tonight. He's on his vacation, still out traveling around the country. And I was on vacation last week. I wasn't here. And we'll talk a little bit about what I did on my summer vacation when we come back.
Awesome. We'll go out to Colorado on our way to the West Coast and say hi to Amanda real quick. How are you doing, Amanda? Everything okay in Colorado?
Hello, darlings. Yes, everything's great here. And just watching the chat room, going to take some questions and maybe some comments. You never know.
Awesome. Well, we're glad you're here, as always. And now all the way out to the left coast, Gordon will not be joining us in Huntsville because apparently he is prohibited from crossing the Mississippi River. But nonetheless, he's got all kinds of stuff going on. So, Gordon, take it away and tell us what's going on out in your world.
Okay. No, I won't be at Huntsville this year. I was here a couple of years ago, and wow, talk about a well-run convention. So it's not too late for those of you that decide you want to go to Huntsville. Nicholas Calderon, Whiskey Papa 4 Papa X-Ray Golf, said he needed a little shout-out because he is going for general. So, Nicholas, the very best to you. Back to you, Don.
With whatever. Actually, I understand you have no shorts tonight. Is that right?
That is correct. I sent a note to Victor saying, hold the shorts. Well, anyway, there'll be no shorts, yeah. But I do have some answers to the many cues that came in my direction over the last 2 weeks. And number one, for those that wanted more information about the United Nations and all they are doing to work the kids onto live radio, and that was such a great show last week. Dave and Heather really did a fine job. Send me an email, wb6noa@arrl.net, and I can put you in touch with Dave and Heather, and they can give you all the information about their project, and they always invite others to help join in with them. Now, we've had a lot of requests about the sign in the background, and the signs are still available. Jim is retired. Jim, what a great guy. But the lighted signs with the LEDs can be ordered through either Gifts or Hams or 405 Laser Works. That's the figures, 405 Laser Works, all one word, at gmail.com. Or just look up 405 Laser Works, and they can score you the signs. And the signs can go on steady, or they can pulse back and forth, or this one's been around to so many ham shows, it just decides what it's going to do when I turn it on, and there's no changing it. Speaking of changes, many of you hams work with Community Emergency Response Team, and those team members generally stay in touch with their little FRS radios. And about 2 years ago, the FCC said, we really need to define the difference between a family radio service, no license radio, fixed antenna, puts out about a half a watt, versus the GMRS radio, where the antenna does unscrew, and the setup also incorporates the full, make that the half duplex GMRS repeater channels. Well, the big question is, the FCC also said you can run more power on channels 1 to 7 on the little FRS radios. So I worked with Paul Opitz at Uniden. Paul, good guy, straight radio guy, and he says, you know, there's been no real change to the Uniden radios. He said, if anything, they're going to work to increase the effective radiated power by maybe looking at the antennas and so on. But he says there is no real difference between the original channels 1 to 7 half watt and channels 8 to 14 1 watt and 15 to 22 at now 2 watts. So now that they can run more power on the FRS channels, it really doesn't make any difference whether they're using a more powerful handheld on the UHF channels versus the other channels. And typically, from reading what Paul says here, he says the higher priced models typically have more power on those channels. But power output is measured on the little FRS radios as effective radiated power, not necessarily the input power to the gear. So something to think about if you're working with the CERT team, tell them don't run out and immediately buy a new handheld. But I would trade them up to get a more professional handheld like the Uniden products that have the capability of really giving you good 2 watts of effective radiated power on all of the, or excuse me, on most of the channels. Some of the channels, channels 8 to 14, have to be half watt, but channels 1 to 7 and 15 to 22 can now be slightly higher, but we've tried it, we've done demos, and it doesn't make a bit of difference as to range. Line of sight on 400 megs. Finally, this weekend, two different events. One is the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend Contest. This is their 22nd annual contest. Germany will have a minimum of 57 lighthouses and a couple of lightships on the air. USA, that's us, will have 56 plus maybe a lightship or something in the middle of the bay. Australia is also in there. So we hope all of you will go on the air this weekend and work a lighthouse or a lightship. They'll be all over the HF bands. And there'll be one out of San Diego whose call sign is Whiskey 6, let me look it up, Whiskey 6 Lima, as for Lighthouse. And the San Diego station is also going to be doing double duty. This weekend is also the 10 gigahertz and up microwave contest. So two things going on at once. So as you're driving around, if you see wires going up to folks atop a lighthouse, yep, that's Lighthouse on the air. And if you see folks with dish antennas, those are the hams taking part in the 10 gigahertz and up contest. So plenty of things going on, including the Huntsville Ham Fest. So this weekend, wherever you are, have fun. And now let's go back to Don. Don?
Yeah, have fun and incorporate ham radio into your fun somehow or another. I know I certainly will with Huntsville coming up. It's my favorite ham fest. I mean, I love Dayton, you know, and all the little local ham fests and stuff. But, man, Huntsville is kind of my first love. I've only missed 1 year since I got licensed in 95 of going to Huntsville. And that was the year that we didn't do a Young Ham of the Year award. So certainly love it. Love everything about the Huntsville Ham Fest and hope to see you there. First, let's talk about DX Engineering a little bit before we get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. You know, DX Engineering, which, by the way, Tim Duffy's going to be there at Huntsville this year. So go by and say hi to him. DX Engineering is always on the lookout for new gear and different ways to enhance your on-air experience. Some of the latest equipment that DX Engineering has to offer, well, they now carry powerful and proven multiband antennas made by Compactenna. These things range from 7 inches to 58 inches tall. Pretty slick. Compactenna offers dual band, tri-band, 6-band, shortwave, radio, receiver, and scanner antennas. They give you high performance with no tuning required of the antenna structure. The company's patented design provides superior omnidirectional coverage in a small package. They're perfect for vacations, limited space locations, keeping out of sight of the HOA, mounting on vehicles. For example, Compactenna's tri-band 20-meter, 2-meter 440 antenna measures a stealthy 20 inches and easily mounts outside or in an attic and handles up to 100 watts on 2 meters. Now, from the designers at DX Engineering, yeah, they make their own stuff. The new transmitter key line splitter, and that DX Engineering stuff is excellent, excellent kit. This handy transceiver key line splitter connects to the ground-on-transmit amplifier keying line of a transceiver. A single input triple output unit provides multiple push-to-talk keying lines, two for accessories in addition to one for the amplifier. It's perfect when using amateur radio devices that need some the same TR keying line, such as your amplifier, but don't have a keying line pass-through for the amp. Surefire Radio's new BF100 6-band bandpass filter system provides exceptional push-button performance in a single box covering 160 through 10. Lightweight compact unit provides excellent rejection of out-of-band signals and improved reception of weak signals. It's a great choice for field day and interference-free contesting. You can expect over 40 dB of rejection to the adjacent contest bands on 160 through 15 meters with an SWR of less than 1.25 to 1 across each band. Rated at 100 watts of power, the rugged device lowers your transceiver's noise floor, helping you log more QSOs. And DX Engineering ships faster than anyone else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is helping you shrink the globe. Request your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. And DX Engineering is a great friend of this program. We certainly thank them for their support of what we do here at Ham Nation. It's going to be good to see Tim Duffy at Huntsville. We've got a solar update from Tamitha Scove, and that is following, of course, the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 2180, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. We begin this week's report with word of successful ham radio response in the face of a major fire that whipped through northern Arizona.
The blaze, known as the Museum Fire for its proximity to two major area museums, spread the flames well beyond 50 acres, spurring the activation of the Coconino County Amateur Radio Club's emergency operations. The blaze eventually grew to cover more than 500 acres. The club's public information officer, Dan Shearer, N7YIQ, noted on the group's website that the club's ARES members staffed the County Emergency Operations Center, providing communications as aircraft and special firefighting teams were called in to help contain the blaze. He said that the club's personnel provided more than 250 hours of radio support. By the 26th of July, however, the ARES volunteers were placed on standby. By the 5th of August, the blaze was declared 93% contained, but not before it had covered nearly 2,000 acres.
Newsline anchor Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, reporting. Ham's recently received some memorable images of a pioneering astronaut and amateur thanks to the ISS and SlowScan TV.
Using SlowScan TV, amateur radio on the International Space Station has ensured that the images of Owen Garriott, W5LFL, the first astronaut to operate ham radio during a space mission, will live on. For 4 days, beginning on the 1st of August, ARES hosted a global commemorative event honoring the radio operator who became a silent key in April. It was his example and his influence that led to the later establishment of the Shuttle Amateur Radio Experiment, or SAREX, that paved the way for ARES. Hams who received the images are eligible to receive something else, an SSTV ARES Award, which is being given to radio operators who have posted their images for viewing by the public. To view these images, which were received by hams worldwide, visit spaceflightsoftware.com/ARES_SSTV. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
World Scout Jamboree is over, and thousands of youngsters are looking back on an experience of a lifetime.
This week in Radio Scouting, the 24th World Scout Jamboree and operations at NA1WJ came to a close. Over 45,000 scouts from 150 countries and over 8,000 staff all departed the Summit Bechtel Reserve, leaving behind a life experience that most scouts will only have once in their scouting career. The team at NA1WJ was able to demonstrate amateur radio to over 3,000 scouts, making over 4,000 QSOs, and working over 80 countries. These contacts were made on HF, D-Star, Echolink, and satellite. QSL request information is on the K2BSA website. The team launched four high-altitude balloons with APRS payloads. The two furthest balloons were NA1WJ-6, which made it to Spain before going silent, and NA1WJ-7, which made it to Tunisia before going silent. An ARES contact was also completed where scouts signed up for a chance to ask a question of Assistant Scoutmaster and astronaut Drew Morgan. There will be a final report forthcoming that will detail out the operation and results and will be posted on the K2BSA website. For more information on this and radio scouting, please visit our website at k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Another reminder and invitation to join me and Dhruv Rebbe, KC9ZJX, at the Huntsville Ham Fest, Saturday, August 17th, as we present to him the Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, Amateur Radio Newsline Young Ham of the Year Award. If you can't be there in person, you can click on W5KUB.com for the award presentation and the entire Huntsville Ham Fest. We hope to see you there. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Jack Parker, W8ISH, Bill Stearns, NE4RD, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now, here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We have a small coronal hole rotating in through the Earth strike zone. And are you ready for the Perseids? Those stories and more in the news this week. This forecast, sponsored in part by Eric Johansson. Check him out at Instagram.com/Scubist. Space weather this week is definitely calming down. As we switch to our front side sun, you can see there's a remnant coronal hole that's going to be rotating in through the Earth's strike zone, but it's really kind of hard to see, and we're not expecting all that much. We could get a little bit of a show at high latitudes over the next couple days, but probably not all that much. On top of that, the sun is pretty much spotless. There's a couple little bright spots here and there, but again, they're not really boosting the solar flux. So amateur radio operators and emergency responders, I'm sorry, the solar flux continues to be in the 60s, which means we do have poor radio propagation on Earth's day side. As we switch to the backside sun, well, the story isn't all that much different. There's still a spotless sun. We do have another coronal hole that's going to be rotating into Earth view here in the next couple days, and it could give us, once again, another little tiny storm, but probably not all that much to note to deal with because this is a solar minimum sun, and pretty much that's the story while our sun sleeps. Switching to our moon, we are now coming to the full moon phase, with a full moon being on the 15th. So you night sky watchers who are out looking for the Perseid meteor shower that is peaking right now, the best idea is to look to the east horizon just before dawn, while the moon is setting and before the sun has risen and it's still dark. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating that small pocket of fast solar wind to hit us, but it's not going to last all that long. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting active conditions with up to about a 25% chance of a minor storm. But at mid-latitudes, we're only expecting unsettled conditions with maybe about 10% chance of active conditions, so we're not really expecting aurora down at mid-latitudes. This is going to be a high-latitude show, if any at all, and it's going to be fleeting, and it definitely will quiet down in through the weekend. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, we are still dealing with a solar minimum sun and a spotless sun at that. That means everything is in the green for big flares. We have no worries for radio blackouts, and this should make GPS users on Earth's day side very happy. We also have a low solar flux. We're sitting essentially in the mid-60s. So again, this should make GPS users at low latitudes very happy because your GPS reception should be pretty spot on. As far as amateur radio operators and emergency responders are concerned, though, radio propagation is in the dumper. We're still dealing with poor radio propagation on Earth's day side, and without any really strong solar storms to kind of help things out, we're really not seeing a lot of radio propagation at all. And this is the trend that's going to continue for quite some time yet. Now, also, because we do have that solar minimum sun, the cosmic ray penetration is stronger than it normally would be. So you frequent flyers, and this does include air crew who are flying at high latitudes and high altitudes and flying over 800 hours annually, you are in the moderate range for radiation dose, and this does include prenatal passengers, so please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is definitely quieting down. We do have a coronal hole that's rotating in through the Earth's strike zone here in the next couple days, but don't expect it to be all that much. It's going to send us a small pocket of fast wind, but most likely the storming is going to be limited to high latitudes. So your aurora photographers, if you're at high latitudes, you'll probably get a little bit of a show, but it won't last all that long, and it should probably quiet down in through the weekend. Now, amateur radio operators and emergency responders, well, again, the story continues to be the solar minimum sun with no bright points really all that effective, and the solar flux is staying in the mid-60s. So radio propagation on Earth's day side continues to be poor, and it's just going to continue to be like that easily over the next week, maybe even longer before we get a reprieve. The only good news is that you GPS users, your reception should be pretty spot on all the way around the globe because we don't really have any strong solar storms and because that solar flux remains low. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Thank you, Dr. T. We appreciate you. I say it every week. She's a great follow on Twitter. If you're not following her on Twitter, you need to, at Tamitha Scove. Also, if you have time, check out her YouTube channel, Tamitha Scove, and go back and look at some of the videos that she's posted. Of particular interest are Carrington event. videos. There was a huge, huge sunspot solar storm back in the 1800s, back in the telegraph days, that actually sent enough energy into the atmosphere that it was picked up on the telegraph wires, and sparks from these keyers, these telegraph keyers, actually caught papers on fire on the telegrapher's desks. And if that happened today, you know, it'd probably black us all out. Just incredible. And we've had several near Carrington size events in recent years. So if you haven't heard of the Carrington event, go back to Dr. T's YouTube channel and go do a search for that, or just do a Google search for Carrington event, C-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N. It's pretty scary stuff. Something that you know, absolutely have zero control over, because it's space weather. And, you know, by the time they see it coming, it's, you know, minutes away. So very interesting stuff. So obviously a great follow on Twitter, and just a great resource that we have here for us here at Ham Nation and for amateur radio in general. And, you know, she's one of us. She has her ticket now. So thank you, Dr. T. We appreciate you. And coming up at Huntsville Hamfest, of course, George and I and Bob are going to be there. And DX Engineering is going to be there, too. I was mistaken. Tim Duffy will not be there. But Melanie, K8KSU, the one of the darlings of the chat room, she will be there, as well as Bob, W5OV. So we'll have some good folks from DX Engineering there. Can't wait to see Melanie again. Mel's just the coolest. And she's in the chat room every week giving us great information about DX Engineering in the chat room. So very good. Well, George, we're going to find out what you did on your summer vacation. And you're going to, I guess, have summer vacation part deux this weekend at Huntsville, huh, with me and Bob?
Well, that'll be part three, because we did it with you and Bob a few weeks ago in Slidell.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, you know, Bob and I were there the day before, because they had the great amateur radio symposiums going on at the Hamfest Hotel there with Nick Tusa and a whole crew of guys that like to rebuild these old boat rigs and operate them, and going back to the old Central Electronics days, a lot of them. Those forums were recorded for 2 days. And I feel sorry for the guy who had to edit them, but he has been editing them, and some of them have been posted now, and you can find them right here. It's cemultiphase.com. It's well worth taking a look at. Those were some great forums. If you like to rebuild old gear or just interested in it, take a look at some of those, because, boy, it is some great information in there. And I learned a lot of things I didn't know about rebuilding old gear. So really a great resource. I suggest you go check it out. And these are just a few of the forums that are posted now, so I believe there will be more coming in the future. And you want to check back and check those out as they come online. What I did on my summer vacation, well, I went to Florida. I hadn't been to the beach down there in several years, so we went to Miramar Beach this year and had a good time down there. Boy, the water was great. You know, that's really, I prefer the beaches in that part of Florida, and really clear water, really clean white sand there. There's, I shot out the condo window there, and you can see it, beautiful looking out there. I took along with me my SDR play. You know, I didn't bring any transmitters, because I wasn't planning on operating while I was there, but I wanted just to do a little listening around, because, you know, you always need a receiver handy, and I thought I might tune in WTWW down there. So I had this plugged into my laptop, and I brought about 20 feet of wire or so and hooked it up. I could pick up a few FM broadcast signals, and that was about it. Couldn't pick up anything else, just a real high noise floor. I couldn't hear any public service frequencies, couldn't hear any AM broadcast signals, so shortwave was off the table too, nothing there. And I think maybe I finally figured out what was going on. My wife had mentioned something about how good the Wi-Fi signal was there in the room. And I got to noticing, yeah, it's, you know, full scale. And I didn't see any antennas around. So I looked outside and I took a little closer look at the building out there. The one on the left, if you look up near the top of it, this is a building that was in front of us. I think that's maybe why we had such good Wi-Fi signal. And that's probably cell phones as well. But look how many antennas they've got pointed at the building I'm in. And not just the antennas that you see around the top there. Probably a lot of those are cell phones. But there's a lot of patch antennas mounted right below them on the side of the building there too. So there was a lot of RF coming right in the window there that I don't know if that was giving me problems on down on the HF bands. But anyway, I just observed that and thought it was interesting. First, I was thinking, well, there's no towers down here on the beach, so that's why they're doing that. But no, all of those antennas, well, there were no towers there, but all of those antennas were pointed straight at the building I was in. None of them on the side next to the beach. So kind of high RF levels there. And, well, I didn't get to do any shortwave listening, so I just had to settle for going to the beach and taking it easy for a week. A lot of fun and good to get away for a little while. Now, you've probably seen these on the internet. This is one of these little relay boards. This one is a 8-relay module, they call it. There's another one called a 4-relay module. You'll find these all over Amazon. This one right here was less than $10 for 8 single pole double throw relays on there. And you'll find them at Hamfest too. Matter of fact, I picked up a 4-relay one at Dayton this year. There will probably be some at Huntsville this weekend. Those things work great. I mean, for that price, it's very economical to include relay control in your projects with your Arduinos or your Raspberry Pis or anything you're building where you need a relay that is being driven by some type of digital circuit or something that can't really supply the current to power the coil in that relay. These have opto-isolators on them and transistor drivers, so they don't draw much current and perfectly suitable for your microcontroller and Raspberry Pi projects. Well, there is a little issue with those that I talked about. Monday night, we shot our latest Amateur Logic episode, and I talked about those and showed how you can modify them easy enough to make them a little bit better. Because when you first run your programs on your microcontrollers, these relays want to pulse for just a moment, which is not good in some applications. So I went through the steps there of how you can modify that to solve that issue. Basically, these relays, you pull the inputs low on here, and that energizes a relay. Well, that doesn't really work out so good with a lot of microcontrollers and the Raspberry Pi, because you get those false pulses when you first run your program. So anyway, a solution, yeah, there it is, in a tight spot. And the tight spot is, I had 2 soldering irons up in there trying to get to that. So anyway, that's what I did after my summer vacation. And that is being used in my project to reboot the internet that I'm still going to be talking about at some point in the future. But right now, you know, Randy has been out on vacation for, I don't know, several weeks now, and he's still going. I think he's headed in the direction of home. But this week, he visited a great museum there and got us some video here to show us what was going on.
I'm at the Antique Wireless Museum, in North Bloomfield, New York. Go in and see what there is. There's like 6,000 square feet of space in this main building. They have four or five buildings. Some are storage, one's a library they're working on.
Demonstrated. So Tesla says we're going to electrify New York City with no wires. So we demonstrate electrified wire bulbs with no wires.
So now we're looking at the Armstrong exhibit, and got a lot of his early work here. So this is his first regenerative receiver built in 1912. You can see the tube in the top. And the way the regenerative worked is that a little bit of the output of the tube was fed back in, and that created it to amplify. If you did too much, it squealed, and that became a transmitter. So here's the world's first vacuum tubes. The one on the left is a Fleming valve from 1905. The one on the right is the DeForest Audion tube from 1907. So this is the ham room with the spark app and some of the early tube equipment. They progress up through the ages with Collins. Here's a KWM1. This really changed amateur radio. One of the most popular transceivers, followed by the KWM2. And all sorts of Collins. And Heathkit. Helicrafters. Drake. And then the Japanese, we got Kenwood, Yaesu, Tempo, we got some Swan up above here, Sengoni Box, Johnson Matchbox, Antenna Tuner. Bob Heil's always talking about the Central Electronics. So here we go. Okay, this is a 10 watt spark gap.
To save the spark, the carbons, because it was expensive.
Right.
So with a synchronous motor, they could get the spark and had the chance to cool. At the same time, it made it a tone.
Right.
And so now we started to hear, so we knew who was sending.
Very cool.
Let's see, 1,000 watts?
1,000 watts. Spark gap. So here's the little sound corner with a bunch of the original photographs. And up on the top, we have RCA, the Little Nipper. Let's take a listen to these old machines. So we're in the teletype corner. Lots of various machines in here. And the one in the wood box was part of the White House, Moscow, Germany hotline. And over on the end here is a Model 28 waterfall multi-printer monitor set. And my friend in Rochester used to have one of these. And we'd run them on 146.70 teletype bubble start back in the 70s. All sorts of old terminal units. Here's HALs. They were very popular. A Dumptron with a scope showing the mark in space. The 1935 Zenith Stratosphere radios. Only about 30 of these were built. These sold for $750 in 1935. And occasionally one of these appears on eBay now for asking price of around $80,000. This is pretty unusual. This is a Strongberg Carlson made here in Rochester, New York, in the 50s. Hmm. All right. How would you like to have one of those? Here we have a whole collection of helicrafters. And it's just amazing. Including some test equipment, a helicrafter signal generator, and a vacuum tube voltmeter. And then we got some ICOM here. And some older equipment. National. HR, oh yeah. National collection here. More shelves of radios. Some Collins.
That's that.
Kenwoods. Reels, table radios, Heathkit, HW16, all sorts of Heathkit. Here's a HW100, one of the most popular Heathkits probably ever sold. This, I believe, is a very rare receiver. It's a Collins 75-3C. More ham equipment, Hammerlands. It's like some CB. Oh, this is very, very cool. The way radios were built, you build it yourself. A little bit later on, you actually got into some metal chassis. Of course, everything was open. This is before TVI, television interference, was a problem. When television came along, we had to shield everything up. All right, look at the transmitting tube in there. Isn't that cool? This just came in. It was homebrewed by Charlie Preston, K4LJH. It's a 1,000-watt linear amplifier with a 750 TL tube. Man, look at the craftsmanship. And how would you like to sit home and have this transmitting and have that tube glowing with the filaments on a cold winter's night? That's a big tube in there. A 750 TL. And this must have been a ham radio with the pig. So here we are in the 1915 radio store. You go in here and buy your radio or buy your radio parts, your tubes, your condensers, your sockets.
Full of tubes, new tubes.
You can even buy your grid leak. This is the first transistor radio built by Bell Labs in 1951. The guys were sitting around listening to a tube radio, and somebody says, why don't you build it using transistors? So that's what they did. And there's the inside there. So number one transistor radio.
Boy, what a museum. If I ever get up in that part of the country, I'm going to put it on my list to stop by and see that. Thanks for putting the video together for us there, Randy. It's really interesting to see all that stuff there, particularly those old spark gaps and how they made those 1 kilowatt. You won't have to replace any tubes in that one, I don't guess, since it's motor drive. And Randy wants to know what you've been building and putting together for a future episode of Show Us Your Projects. Just send him photos and a description of what it is you're working on to hamprojects@twit.tv and show us your projects. And you'll be included in a future episode of Show Us Your Projects. And I guess, I think that's all we've got for tonight in the smoke and solder department. So let's get a message from ICOM, and we'll be right back.
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. Make the most out of contest season with one of these ICOMs today. IC7610, the SDR every ham wants. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. Or get the IC7300. Changing the way entry-level HF is designed, this high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Keep your competitive edge with faster processors, higher input gain, higher display resolution, and a cleaner signal. ICOM's IC7851 is the pinnacle of HF perfection. Dual receivers, digital IF filters, memory keyer, digital voice recorder, high-resolution spectrum waterfall display, enhanced PC connectivity, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And ICOM invites you to go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats are given away weekly. And you'll also be entered in the grand prize drawing for a new radio each month. For August, that new radio is the ICOM ID51A+2 VHF UHF dual band dual watch D-Star portable. It's got built-in GPS receiver, extended D-Star coverage, DV fast data mode, terminal mode and access point mode, DV and FM repeater search function, micro SD card slot, and there's a built-in independent AM/FM broadcast receiver, and you can download a free Android app as well. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And now I believe we have Amanda here with some questions from the chat room. Hi, Amanda. What are they talking about tonight?
Oh, boy, we've been talking about a lot of different stuff. Mostly just conversation, but some fun things. I just can't get over Randy's video, and I heard that there's a longer one, so find it on YouTube. Randy has his own YouTube channel, and I really enjoyed his whole vacation because he was sharing so many photos on his Twitter account. So those tweeters of you, get on there and follow Randy because he's quite a joy to follow. He posts lots of his projects and get some inside information from him. That being said, Gordo, my first question is for you. This question is, I have two power supplies, 30 amps each, and want to split my load in half. Is it okay to join the negatives to create one rail neg and two 30-amp positive rails? Over.
I would be a little cautious on taking the output of two 30-amp power supplies that produce 12 volts DC at 30 amps. I would be cautious hooking negative to negative, positive to positive, turning them both on. One's probably going to immediately feed back into the other one. I would suggest that they would contact the power supply manufacturer and ask them, or maybe give a call to Tim Duffy's team, because many times they're probably going to get that question. How can I get like 50 or 60 amps from two 30-amp supplies at the same time? So I'll not answer that one, but suggest that DX engineering crew, very knowledgeable, would be able to give a positive answer. But I would be very cautious before just hooking them up together in parallel.
Very good. And you probably wouldn't want to try the most expensive thing to power up if you were going to do that. Use something experimental, please.
Right.
My next question is for George and Don. So, George, I'll go to you first. when you go to these ham fests, is there anything in particular you look at buying in the swap area? Yeah, are there used items you're always constantly looking for to buy?
Years ago I used to constantly look for a Megger, and I finally got one of those. A viewer sent me one, and which I am very appreciative of, and I use it quite frequently. These days, you know, I'm mostly looking at parts and stuff like this little relay board right here, you know, little modules that I can experiment with. But some unique parts, sometimes I'll buy some connectors. I bought PL259 connectors in Slidell because you always need those, and I bought the adapters for them too. And I bought a giant roll of string like Don bought. He tipped me off to that. But, you know, that's mostly what I'm looking for these days. I've got nice rigs right now, and I've got plenty of antennas. But, you know, me, I like to tinker with stuff. So that's where I'm spending most of my time, is walking around and trying to find the good deals there and unique stuff that you just won't find anywhere else.
Minus the 56K modems, I hope.
Don, what about you?
I have seen that on campus. I say, why?
See, there you go. That's a little bit bigger than my roll of string, but that's some fine string for the money, too. I think I paid $10 for mine, and I've got like 2,700 feet of it or something like that.
Dang.
Yeah, this is $20 for 2,000 feet, but it's a little bit heavier gauge than the one you had. That's why the roll is much bigger. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff. It kind of depends. If I have something on my want list, then I'll look for that. Like George, you know, I've got some really fine gear here too, and I'm not really looking for any radio equipment. If something, you know, comes my way at a really good price, and I have the wherewithal to do that, I will do that. Like, for instance, I bought a handheld to Dayton. I had been tinkering with the idea of trying out System Fusion, and one of the manufacturers, Yaesu there, in fact, tipped me off. John Krupp is, Yaesu, of course, is one of the corporate sponsors for Young Ham of the Year Award. So I asked him, I said, what's the entry-level Fusion HT, the FT70, what's that thing going for? And he tipped me off to a retailer there on site, and I bought a brand new dual band handheld for $125 with System Fusion in it. I mean, God, $125 for a new name brand, dual band handheld, 5-watt handheld, is a good price regardless whether it has any kind of digital in it or not. So I picked that up. That was my one purchase at Dayton. I do have one thing on my wish list for Huntsville. I need to find a better enclosure for this DV Mega, because the hat is just flopping around in here, and I need to find an actual DV Mega enclosure for that with my Raspberry Pi. That's the one thing I'm really looking for. I don't have anything else on my wish list. I'll be busy with Young Ham of the Year and just seeing people and hanging out with Bob and George. Won't be much shopping. Randy's video, I want to go off on a tangent a little bit. Randy's video was awesome. And there are some great things to do tourism-wise at Huntsville if you feel like taking a side trip. As a matter of fact, I have it on their website. If you click on event info and go down to tourism, they have a whole list of things. Of course, the U.S. Space and Rocket Center, Space Camp, is there. There is a Veterans Memorial Museum that Joe Eisenberg and I did a few years ago. Go up to event info and then go down to tourism, Vic, and you'll find links to these things. The Veterans Memorial Museum is an amazing little place. If you have the time, go and check that out. Just click on that link to Veterans Memorial Museum and pull it up, because it's really, really about a little more than half. There you go. It's a cool little place. And they've got all kinds of stuff, some radio equipment in there as well, airplanes in there and vehicles and just uniforms. It's a great little place. Just really check that out. And then there's another place called Early Works, the museum, which basically is three in one. You get the Alabama Constitution Hall Historical Park, the Early Works Children's Museum, and the Historic Huntsville Depot. So there's some great things to do in and around Huntsville in association with the Ham Fest. So I just wanted to give a plug out for that for those of you who are making the trip and maybe want to make a side trip. Eisenberg and I always try to make a side trip. Cathedral Caverns is not too far away as well. A great cave system. And also, well, the Jack Daniel Distillery is not that far away either. We did a side trip to that one year as well. So, you know, hey, if you're going to Huntsville, you may as well go. And listen, take your wife or your girlfriend or both. I don't judge. Over to Scottsboro, Alabama, to the unclaimed baggage place. That is where when you lose your baggage on the airlines, the airlines have, I think, 90 days or 6 months, whatever, to try to reunite you with your luggage. And if they can't do that after a certain amount of time, whatever it is, they sell it to unclaimed baggage. And you can go in and buy all kinds of things at the unclaimed baggage store. So unclaimedbaggage.com. Check that place out, too, if you have time for a side trip. That's just a few things to do in Huntsville. I've kind of got off on a tangent, but you know, with the Ham Fest coming up, there's just all kinds of things to do in Huntsville. Back to you, Amanda.
All right.
Yeah, Amanda.
A little creeped out about the baggage thing. Go ahead, George.
No, it's cool. Yeah, you should go.
I told a story. You know, I do look for something at all these Ham Fests I go to, and I had just forgotten about it until I got to looking at what was going on in the chat room, and they were talking about robbing the transformers out of old modems. I generally always look for good, high-quality audio transformers. These that are good, you know, from almost 20 to 20,000, low distortion, 600 to 600 ohms. This is a couple of Stacores right here. These things are very expensive these days. You can buy one like this used probably for $30. So, and some as high as 80. So I always look around to see if there's any decent quality audio transformers at these Ham Fests. And I, as you can see, I have two or three spares there, but you can never have too many. That's my motto.
Absolutely.
All right. I have to tell you guys, I have some Ham Fest magic. Every time I have my mind set on something I want to look for at a Ham Fest, it's there and it's decently priced. I kid you not. I was looking for Camtronics for doing packet or learning how to do packet, and I said, they've got to be there. They've got to be there and they've got to be affordable. Sure enough, there was three of them and the guy made me a deal on two of them, two for $20. Couldn't resist that. Next time I go, I wanted an antique radio that I could restore, you know, refinish the wood. I wanted a tall one about this yay high. Wanted at least AM, if not FM, if it was new enough, or a record player in it. Found a Philco. They sold it to me for $20. I'm just magic like that. So if you guys need something, you tell me. I'll give you some mojo. Gordo, I know you don't get a lot of time to, because you do so much FaceTime with everybody when you're at these places. But if you had the time to walk through those swaps, what would you look for?
I always look for the dawn just ready to break when the swappers are putting everything out there for the first time. And then I'm like you, I'm going to find it. But the big deal is for the swap meet, get there as they're setting up. Or as soon as they let the public in, immediately do the swap first and then work the regular exhibits. And you're bound to find some great stuff if you go early enough at the swap meet.
Yeah, that's the
key.
All
right. And everybody loves those free boxes, right? That's where you find those 56K modems.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The stuff that you weren't aware of until that absolute moment that you just could not live another second without.
I tell you what, if I see another mouse from like 1992 with the ball in it that's all corroded and with the wire and, oh, come on.
Those are just nasty,
right?
Just
recycle it already. Gross. It still has the cat hair in it and stuff.
Oh, that's nasty.
I just messing with you guys. You guys have, you know, everyone's seen it. You've seen those boxes. Don't tell me you haven't. To get down to some serious stuff here, let's go over the nets. So there's not going to be a 40-meter net tonight because Kevin's headed to Huntsville, so he's on the road.
All right.
Steve is W7UDI is hosting the 20-meter net on 14-270. Look up a little bit higher than you normally are. We have D-Star and 14 Charlie and D DMR on 31012. That's the talk group you're looking for. And in really, really serious talk here, I just like to say our prayers are with Philadelphia tonight, and very sad situation going on there. So we hope it turns out as best as it can. It sounds like most of the officers are going to be okay. So with that, Don, you take it away.
Yeah, that was disturbing news to hear as it was breaking when I was driving home this afternoon. And I have a friend in Philadelphia, as a matter of fact. Mark Abramovich, NT3V, who is the Amateur Radio Newsline Young Hem of the Year chairperson, is a broadcaster in Philadelphia. He's on KYW 1060. His air name is Mark Abrams. He's a newsman, and I would imagine that Mark has been very busy covering that story. So, our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone in Philadelphia. I think that'll do it for us tonight. We're in the process of getting ready to wrap up all the Huntsville preparations and get on the road. Bob is already on the road. George will be on the road soon. I will as well, taking Friday as a vacation day, going to drive up early Friday morning. And then that's the fun of Huntsville is you go in during setup. And it's the most amazing setup there at Huntsville. They call themselves the world's friendliest ham fest, and they truly are. Because you can drive your vehicle right into the convention space and unload and get your stuff all set up and then take your vehicle out. It is a well-oiled machine like you have not witnessed before in your life. So, usually walk around during setup and you can buy your door prize tickets in advance there as well. And just a great time. Great venue at the Von Braun Center. If you've not been to the Huntsville Ham Fest, it needs to be on your list for sure. So make your way to Huntsville, Alabama on the third weekend of August. And hopefully we'll see you there this year. I guess that'll do it for us tonight. We'll thank you so much for letting us come into your computer, your smartphone, or whatever it is that you're watching us on. And thanks for all the support over the years. And again, thanks to the Brazoria County Aries Group for having me on with their meeting last night. And if you've got a meeting or a ham fest or a group that you want any of us to Skype into and give our little dog and pony show, we'd be more than happy to. In fact, Amanda, I put a plug in for you being in an Aries group. I said, Amanda is the one you need to talk to about emergency communications. So Brazoria County Aries. Maybe getting in touch with you one of these times to talk at one of their meetings. So
that's good. I was just going to tell you to tell them to call me. Call me.
Oh, I did.
I'd love to talk
yeah,
to
you. Yeah, I did. I did. Okay. Absolutely. Last night I did. I put a plug in for you. So any of us, we're all available. And if you'd like us to come in and help you out, we'd certainly be happy to do that. And once Huntsville is over, we're getting ready for I'm getting ready for another road trip. I'm going to be going up to Peoria, Illinois, to the Peoria Superfest. It is their 100th anniversary of the Ham Radio Club up there in Peoria, Illinois. And it just so happens to be on the weekend before my birthday. So, of course, you know, it's the Peoria Superfest and Don's birthday party. So if you're in the Peoria, Illinois area, September 21st, I believe, is that weekend. The 25th is my birthday, so it's the weekend before that. Come up and join us in Peoria, and we'll have a grand time. And with that, we'll go ahead and sign off. Wish you good night, and thank you for being here. And we'll see you again next week for the Huntsville wrap-up. So forever, all of us who work on this program, Victor and everybody else at TWIT included, and Leo Laporte, we'll thank you for being here, and we'll see you next week. So good night, everybody.